I'll try to go slower this time. Okay, the past few messages I've done have been on drawing on the Lord's promises and getting to know our Lord better, the last two. His promises are both conditional and unconditional. When we come to this understanding, we realize how our Lord, how our God works, and how His promises can affect our lives in wondrous ways. We know God has a hedge around His chosen, and His shepherd, our Lord Jesus, watches over us indefinitely. He will not let us stray too far. He always leads us into green pastures, even when things seem impossible in our lives. The Lord also tells us, in this world there will be trouble, but fear not, for I have overcome the world. He tells us this because being in Him, we may have peace, no matter what we're going through. The peace we have with the Lord only comes when we are abiding in Him. We believe He is the Son of God sent down to earth to be God's sacrificial lamb to save all those who call on His name. Once we accept this, we become His children and inherit all God's goodness and mercy. So today's message will be on trusting our Lord when things get rough. When Jesus' disciples finally accepted that Jesus came from God, Jesus prays for Himself, for His disciples, and for us. So let's turn to John 17. John 17. After Jesus said this, He looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. For You granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to all those who You have given Him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. I have brought You glory on earth by completing the work You gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Me in Your presence with the glory I had with You before the world began. I have revealed to You to those whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours. You gave them to Me, and they have obeyed Your word. Now they have everything You have given Me, or now they know that everything You have given Me comes from You. For I gave them words You gave Me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from You, and they believed that You sent Me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, for they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is Mine, and glory has come to Me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to You. Holy Father, protect them by the power of Your name, the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name You gave Me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to You now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of My joy within them. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that You take them out of the world, but that You protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify Myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in Me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as You and I are in Me and I am in You. May they also be in us. The world may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. I in them, You in Me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that You sent Me and that You have loved them even as You have loved Me. Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory, the glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This was Jesus' last prayer before he died on the cross. Jesus reiterates that we are sanctified by his truth. Then he says, your word is truth. Those Bibles on our nightstand is his word, and his word makes us holy. By not reading our Bibles and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal his word to us puts our body at risk. Our physical body needs nutrients and vitamins. Our spiritual body needs those also, but in the form of God's word. When we are hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, the acronym is HALT, we are setting ourselves up for an attack. Spending time with our Lord shouldn't be a chore. We need that time to express to him how much we love him and how grateful. We are for all that he has done for us. Singing songs to him in the car while driving. So singing songs to him in the car while driving to work also draws us closer to him. I know that because I drive a lot. When we are close to him and have spent time with him each day, all the troubles of the day seem a lot more bearable. And if we dealt with them ourselves. I was telling Stephanie the other day, after a long week of failures, I couldn't believe I was still actually joyful at the end of it. It was exhausting, but knowing I was going to spend time with our Father writing this message gave me this inner peace, causing me to become joyful. So I started researching Psalm 34. This psalm was written of David when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and then David left. The pretense of the story goes like this. David had been driven out of Saul's presence because Saul was very jealous of him and wanted to kill him. So David was trying to hide from Saul, moving from city to city, desert to desert, just to escape from Saul's pursuit. He had about 400 men with him also, so this had to have been difficult. Throughout this pursuit, we see David constantly going to the Lord for answers, even though this had to have been a troubling time for him. He was also leaving a wake of destruction behind him. So let's turn to 1 Samuel 21. David went to Nod to Ahimelech the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he met him and asked, "Why are you alone? Why is no one with you?" David answered, "Ahimelech the priest, the king charged me with a certain matter and said to me, 'No one is to know anything about your mission and your instructions. As for my men, I have told them to meet me at a certain place.' Now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever you can find." But the priest answered David, "I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." David replied, "Indeed, women have been kept from us as usual whenever I set out. The men's things are holy, even on missions that are not holy. How much more so today? So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, since there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from the Lord and replaced by hot bread on the day it was taken away. Now one of Saul's servants was there that day, detained before the Lord. He was Doeg, the Edomite, Saul's head shepherd. David asked Ahimelech, "Don't you have a spear or sword here? I haven't brought my sword or any other weapon, because the king's business was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed, is in the valley of Elah, is here. It is wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. If you want it, take it. There is no sword here but that one." David said, "There is none like it. Give it to me." That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said unto him, "Isn't this David the king of the land? Isn't this the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence, and while he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He is insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you would bring this fellow here to carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" So now, David was trying to be deceptive. When he went to Gath, he was trying to blend in with the Philistines. This was Goliath's hometown. He had Goliath's sword, but that didn't do him much good. So David then pretended to be a madman. In Psalm 34, Abimelech is the title given to the Philistine kings. This was not Ahimelech, the high priest. It's kind of close. When David wrote Psalm 34, he is writing a reflection on why it is so important to fear the Lord and to have a contrite heart. Having a contrite heart means you fear consequences from your sin and are confessing your sins to God, asking for His forgiveness. Even though David used deception to get out of a jam, he was sorry for it and learned from it. The psalm he wrote is a testimony of God's grace and bearing with our weakness. This does not justify our sin, but it does magnify God's grace towards His weak children. He also encourages us to worship together in Psalm 34. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. The life God blesses is not free from trials, as some may preach. Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Some trials are due to our own sin and shortcomings, as did this trial with David. He got himself into a serious bind with Achish, so much so that he wrote Psalm 34 about this. Some trials are due to the sins of others against us. David got into this jam because of Saul. We need to be careful not to fall into sin when this happens. When we turn to the Lord in our trials, He can use even our past sins for His holy purposes. This is to recognize that God is the God of second, third, and fourth chances. The Bible is full of these stories. Stories like David's, Jacob's, Jonah, and Peter. They all show restoration and encourage most of us when we have failed the Lord. Don't let trials like these distance you from the Lord and turn you bitter. Let them push you to the Lord for deliverance and grace. To come to the end of ourselves, we must be brokenhearted and contrite over our sin. He's boasting in Psalm 34:2. But not in himself. He is boasting in the Lord, which means he recognizes that he is the object of God's undeserved favor. Matthew 5:3-4 says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Our brokenness should drive us to seek the Lord and take refuge in Him. Psalm 34:8 was probably when David was hiding in the cave. If we do not fear the Lord, we will not take refuge in Him. When we fear the Lord, we live in obedience to Him. Throughout Psalm 34, there is an emphasis on being righteous, which means to obey the Lord. Because Jesus died for us, our righteousness is made complete in Him. David refers to us as saints, or holy ones. He tells us to depart from evil and do good. He also assures us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Proverbs 8:13 says, "Fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Fearing Him leads to obeying Him, which leads to enjoying God and experiencing His blessings. When we experience God's blessings, He expects us to share it with others and to invite them to experience God's blessings too. Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt His name together." In verse 4 to 10, the idea is God rescued David. In verse 34:19, David alludes to Jesus. "He keeps all His bones, not one of them is broken." The last part of Psalm 34 is in 19 through 22, which refers to the final experience of God's blessing and salvation, which is not in this life, but in the life to come. God will finally justify and redeem and condemn the wicked. And then let's turn to Romans 8:1-4. "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of a sinful man to be a sin offering, And so He condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit." Our lives as Christians here on earth are based on these truths in Romans. Those that put their hope in Christ know and understand what Jesus actually did for us. Life is hard. Jesus, our Comforter, offers us an escape by putting our trust and hope in Him. The parallels of David's trials transpose to our daily lives, no matter how big or small they are. We need and desire our Lord. David's psalm offers us warnings and hope and is a great depiction of how our lives ought to be lived. There is instructions on who God's eyes are on, and this all points to Jesus. Those who put their hope in Him trust and love Him and have a contrite heart. This allows our relationship with Him to grow and not run away in fear. Psalm 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." This should give us comfort knowing we will be with Him in heaven one day. And to conclude, let's all turn to Psalm 34. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them." Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Thank you.